Morning. It is always a joy to be here with you folks. And, Children's Church. All of you that would like to escape having to listen to me that are school age may be dismissed now. So I want to thank you folks for your faithfulness to me and my family. Lord's good, and Lord's been good to me. You all know that on April 29th, I lost my Debbie. She passed away here at Tampa General Hospital, and I'm just blessed to know that she's with the Lord. We had some really precious times as a family. My girls were able to get to the hospital before she passed away. My granddaughter was able to be there, and one thing that was a special blessing to us was Debbie was fine as far as she was able to talk and everything. And then they were doing a procedure, and they had to intubate her. They had to put the tube in to keep her breathing going. And after that, she, you know, was pretty much out of it. That she didn't come back. That was unexpected. And so she was at least appeared to be unconscious, you know, laying there in the bed. They were monitoring her, and she was pretty heavily sedated because of the tube being in your throat. It's very uncomfortable. And so they told me we're going to start easing off the sedation so that we can see if she can come off the intubation, and so you can try to communicate with her. So they were not able to extubate her safely, but they did end up taking off the sedation, and she still just seemed like she was asleep. And so we were talking to her, and we were all sitting there, and I told each of us said different things to her, and the girls were telling things and saying things. We were crying a little bit, we were laughing a little bit, we were reminiscing and everything. And I looked down at her and I said, "Deb, if you know how much you loved, just squeeze your eyes real tight." And she went like that, and it was, I've never seen her do it before. And so that was just like a little blessing to us to know that she was able to hear us. And we were able to sing with her and to be with her as she passed away. And the Lord is good. We're happy to know that she's no longer in pain. She's no longer suffering. And it was a good time for us as a family. And we're just thankful for the many years of blessings that we had with Debbie. And the Lord's given us an extra measure of peace and an extra measure of comfort as we go through this, and so I just appreciate your continued prayers for me and my girls. Exciting news for our family, so I am the proud grandfather of little Gwendolyn. So Gwendolyn is, I guess, what is she, 18 months old, and my daughter is, they live in Williamsburg, Virginia, and my daughter is really good about calling me on FaceTime at least once or twice every single day. And I get to see Gwendolyn. She calls me Papa John. She doesn't say John yet, but she goes, and for some reason, she always whispers it. She always goes, "Papa, Papa." So that's my new favorite name. And the other big news is my daughter Elizabeth is expecting my second granddaughter, who will be, her due date is Christmas Day. So I have an extra special Christmas present coming along on December 25th or thereabouts. Then my youngest daughter, Olivia, she is engaged to be married, and she will be getting married on May 29th of next year, and she'll be moving to Virginia. So I get to find out what it's like to be an empty nester here real soon. So interesting days for me and interesting days that lie ahead. So appreciate your prayers. Take your Bible, if you would, to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Some of you are probably going to say, "I've never heard of that. Oh, no, now I have to find this in my Bible." So right in the, go to Matthew and go back a few pages. It's one of those short little minor prophets that's right there. The book of Habakkuk. And this is a book that I've been studying on my own recently. And so I just thought I'd share with you a little bit about it. For those of you that missed Sunday school today, we were in 2 Corinthians. And we talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh and why God did not remove that. And in a way, Habakkuk chapter 1, it's not a thorn in the flesh, but we're going to see what appears to be, in a sense, that maybe God's not answering prayers or things aren't going the way we expect. But I believe it'll be encouraging to us as we look and we can see from God's word a little bit more. Habakkuk is a book that I highly doubt that you're going to find somebody that says it's their favorite book of the Bible. I kind of doubt that you're going to hear somebody say, oh, my pastor loves to preach and teach through the book of Habakkuk. It's often forgotten about. And I can almost guarantee you that nobody has a calendar or a coffee mug or a plaque on their wall with quotations from Habakkuk on it. It's kind of one of those obscure little books. But God left it there, gave it to us for a reason. So I hope we can learn a little bit from it this morning. Like I said, it's called a minor prophet. Now, that doesn't mean it's of minor importance. It just means it's short. It's small compared to some of the longer books of prophecy that we have in our Bibles. And so it's a book that I would say is one of the, it's going to sound odd, maybe I should clarify, it's one of the more honest books of the Bible. Now, the whole Bible's honest, but I guess a better word would be it's candid. It seems like it's very candid. It's very transparent. And we see Habakkuk saying things straight from his heart. And Habakkuk looks at the world around him. He's frustrated. And Habakkuk says, God, I don't understand what you're doing. And I think sometimes we feel bad as Christians to even think that way. We have challenges going in our life. I've had people say to me, and I don't say this to brag. I say this because God is good. God's been very gracious to me and my family. But I've had people, family members, distant family members, say, if God is loving, why did he allow Debbie to go through everything that she went through? Why would God allow that? And sometimes we feel bad to even think that way. We feel bad to question that. We feel bad to question, what in the world is God doing? But I imagine that's a question, if we're honest, if we're transparent, if we're candid, it's probably a question that each of us have asked from time to time. I know one time that I was preparing to go on a trip. I'd like to have everything ready. I actually have on my phone in the little notes app, I have different packing lists for different types of trips. And so I like to be organized and I want everything ready. And maybe it's a male thing, but I want my car to be vacuumed out, clean, spotless. I want it all washed and cleaned, gassed up, everything ready in my car before I take a trip. I had everything ready. And right when we're getting ready to go out the door, I'm going to go out to the side of the house and turn the water off because we're going to be gone for a while just in case. I don't want to leak in the house. And when I come in and I close the front door, the door handle completely falls apart and falls to the floor. Oh, man. And I had our trip meticulously planned out so that I would go through all the major cities as I went north and avoid the traffic times. And I have to tell you, right there at that moment, this little thing that I thought, okay, I could put it back together. I'm not mechanically minded, and I didn't know that a lock had so many pieces inside of it and so many little springs and little pulleys and everything. And by some miraculous miracle, I did manage to get it put back together, and we put the lock up, and it took me like an hour and a half because I couldn't leave the house unlocked while we were gone. Oh, it was such a nightmare. And I have to say, at times like that, we look and we say, Lord, what are you doing? You're sovereign. Why did you let the door, after all this time we've lived here, I've never noticed a problem with it, why'd you let it break this morning? And we feel bad to ask those kind of questions. By the way, I'll put a little pause there and say, who knows? Only God knows. But I will say, we were an hour and a half leaving. And as we got up, my GPS showed an accident on the interstate. And when we went by, they were clearing an accident, a very severe accident. And I said to my family, you know, I was a little frustrated with the door lock, but maybe we avoided an accident. Who knows? God works in mysterious ways. But sometimes, well, we can't even figure it out. Well, we don't even see a possibility of how something good could come out of a situation. We get frustrated. Now, I got to tell you, there seems to be injustice all around us. We hear about people that are doing terrible things and they get praised for it. We see people that are breaking laws and they seem to get away with it. And it's frustrating. There doesn't seem to be justice in our world. And that's what was going on in Habakkuk's day as well. I have to tell you, when I was in sixth grade, I was a very good kid. I was a good student and I was well behaved for my age. And I remember in sixth grade, my teacher asked me, now I'm going to show my age a little bit. My teacher asked me, said, John, would you get up and erase the board, please? So I got up. It was a chalkboard, so that shows my age. It's a big black chalkboard, and we had these big, long, like a foam block eraser things. And boy, those suckers held a lot of chalk. You know, it would just clog up in there. So I get up and I'm erasing the board. And then my arch enemy, this boy that always bullied me, his name was Robert Jamison. Robert got up and he got an eraser. He wasn't asked to get up. And he starts violently erasing the board. And he slaps my hand with it and gets chalk all over my hand. So what did a little sixth grade boy do? I took it and hit his hand with it. Well, Robert didn't end it there. Robert takes it and whoop, slaps it across my face, and I mean covers me with yellow chalk. So what do? Whoop, I hit it back. And next thing you know, we're in a full-fledged chalk battle, and there's yellow chalk floating around. The teacher turns around and says, John, Robert, go to the principal's office. As the smoke cleared the room, we walked down the hall, and we're kind of walking slowly, and I'm like, I didn't mean to get you upset. I'm not upset. What are we going to tell the principal? Well, it was just an accident. Yeah, right. We were yellow. So we go down to the office. I can imagine now as an adult, we open the door. You know the secretary down there is trying not to laugh when she sees us covered in chalk dust. And then she goes, Mr. Dixon will see you in just a moment. Then he comes out, and he opens the door, and he looks, shakes his head. He goes, John, don't let this happen again. Go back to class. Robert, sit down. See, Robert was always in trouble. But at that moment, you got to think that Robert was probably questioning the justice in that. How come he gets to go back? He hit me with the eraser just as much, and yet he gets to go free. What happened there? Well, maybe you sometimes feel like you're in Robert's shoes. Things around you don't feel fair. It just doesn't seem right. You look around and you say, Lord, how can you allow this to happen? You work with people and they're slacking off at the job, and you work hard and they get the praise. They get the raise. You do the best in everything that you can. You try to honor the Lord. You try to live right, and things just don't seem to go well for you. Maybe you've watched someone that you love make terrible decisions and destroy their life, and you've wondered why God doesn't step in, why God doesn't intervene. Maybe you've prayed about a situation and you've prayed for years and it just doesn't seem to change. And like we saw in Sunday school this morning, maybe like Paul, you pray for relief of that thorn in the flesh and the Lord doesn't seem to answer. You think to yourself, God, if you're good, why are you allowing this? And that's basically what we see here in the book of Habakkuk. We have Habakkuk that is frustrated with what's going on. And I find it interesting that Habakkuk's questions, the things that he was asking God, the things that we feel guilty to think or ask ourselves, are actually shown in Scripture. You know, it would have been easy. God inspired the very words of Scripture. So it would have been very easy for God to say, we're not going to show that aspect. We don't want to show somebody questioning me. But no, it's in Scripture on purpose. He put Habakkuk's questions right here in the Bible. And I think it shows us something very, very important. And that's, there's a difference between questioning God and walking away from God. There's a difference between questioning God and walking away from God. You know, a lot of times people come and they have difficult situations in their life. As Christians, we feel guilty to question God about it. But what they do is they say, a loving God would never allow this to happen. A loving God would not let me lose my loved one. A loving God would not let this injustice take place. And what they do is they get frustrated. And you know what also happens? If you ask people in churches or outside of church, why don't you want to go to church? One of the biggest answers is because the church is full of hypocrites. They've been burned at church. Somebody's hurt them. And then they look and they say, you know what? I'm done with this. And they walk away from God. What a shame. It's okay to question. I think God wants us to question. I think we're going to see that today. So look with me if you would. We're going to see that Habakkuk doesn't walk away. He brings his questions to God, and I want us to begin to think that today. So look in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1. My Bible says Habakkuk's cry to the Lord. Verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou would not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance for spoiling and violence are before me? And there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Now those are the words of somebody that is frustrated. When I read that, it's almost like, wow, you're going to go to God Almighty and you're going to talk that bluntly. But he did. And so we can see something interesting here. The first thing I want you to see is that Habakkuk saw what was wrong. Habakkuk saw what was wrong. So in verse 1, another version says the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Now, when I hear the word oracle, I tend to think of like a speech or a form of communication, a message. But by doing a quick Hebrew word study of that word that's translated there as the burden, it actually is translated well because it's the word masa. It's a burden. It's a weight that is carried. In most places in the Bible, it's used whenever there's a message from God when he's going to proclaim that there's going to be judgment. So there's an oracle from God. There is a message from God. There is a burden that's going to be carried out, and that's going to be judgment. Well, that's what Habakkuk is showing here, where God's delivering a message, and Habakkuk isn't just sitting around looking for something to complain about. He is highly frustrated. He's carrying something. He is very burdened by this. He's carrying this tremendous burden. And then it helps me to understand what follows in verse 2. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? Another version says, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? You ever called out to God and you just felt like you didn't get a response? You didn't feel like you heard anything? Notice the first thing that Habakkuk does. He sees something that's wrong. So in verse 3, he says, why dost thou show me iniquity? So what is iniquity? So there's sin, there's evil, there's injustice, there's things that are going on. And at this time, for the nation where he's dealing with, there's all kinds of trouble. There's idolatry. Instead of worshiping the true God, they're worshiping idols and false gods. There's every form of wickedness imaginable. Now, we could put a big set of parentheses. Does that sound like the world we live in today? It definitely does. So we can empathize a little bit with Habakkuk and say, Lord, how long are you going to tolerate this? How long are laws going to be ignored? How long is evil going to be called good and good called evil? And so why do you just idly look at this? And he gives this list that goes on. He talks about in verse 3, why does you show me this iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? And then he talks about violence and spoiling and strife and contention and destruction, violence, all these things that are going on. Habakkuk's looking around his nation, just like we could look around our nation, and he's seeing wickedness. He's seeing injustice. He's seeing violence. He's seeing conflict. And my goodness, maybe I'm just getting older. By the way, several people noticed I grew a beard. Makes me distinguished. But just an experiment. It will be gone soon. But having said that, when I'm getting old and now I look at the world around and boy, it's easy to get frustrated. It doesn't seem like the good old days. And we look at the crazy things that are going on and corruption and everything. And it's just a big mess. That's why I stopped watching the news. Can't watch the news. It just frustrates me to death. And that must have been what Habakkuk felt because all around him, sin was flourishing. We say that the wages of sin is death or the consequences, you're going to reap what you sow. But it's almost sometimes seems like all that's paused, that everybody's getting away with everything. They get praised for doing the most ridiculous things. I like in the ESV version of the Bible, verse 4, it says, so the law is paralyzed. In the King James, it says, the law is slack. Judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteousness. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. It even goes on in some versions and talks about how the law is perverted. It's just used for evil. And that law that they're talking about here is the Torah So the people there would have been very familiar with the Jewish law, and justice wasn't functioning. Justice was not working as it should, and wicked seemed to be getting away with everything. And perhaps Habakkuk felt a little bit like my classmate Robert Jamison, that justice wasn't done. John got sent back to the room, and I have to sit down in the principal's office. By the way, I don't know what happened to Robert, but anyway, he was back in class, so it wasn't the death penalty or anything. But Habakkuk's looking at all this, and it's like he's saying, God, don't you see? Don't you see what's going on? So let me pause here for just a moment and give you a little context. So to help us understand, the world Habakkuk was living in was just evil. It was a very turbulent time in the nation and Judah's history. The northern kingdom of Israel had been defeated, destroyed by Assyria. The southern kingdom had experienced significant spiritual decline. Then they had King Josiah had come in, and King Josiah tried to restore some things, and the southern kingdom sort of improved a little bit. But then as soon as he died, the spiritual condition of the southern kingdom just fell apart again. It started to deteriorate rapidly. And the nation was headed towards judgment. That's that burden, that oracle that we see used in other places. So Habakkuk's looking at his nation. He's seeing moral and spiritual collapse. And that helps us to kind of understand that context just a little bit. But something I think is important for us as a little side note is Habakkuk didn't become numb to the sin all around him. Don't you think it's easy for us, even as Christians, Bible-believing, church-going Christians, it's easy for us to kind of become numb to the sin that's all around us. Much to my shame, I can remember when I was a little boy, if we ever watched a movie, and I think my family was one of the last families on earth to get a VCR. And I remember that we got a VCR, and to show how long ago this was, we would go to the 7-Eleven to rent movies. Can you imagine that? And so you go to the 7-Eleven, and you'd pick out your videotape. And my father didn't want us to watch anything that was questionable. So we always watched, you know, family-friendly movies. But I do remember every so often, if we watched a movie and it had a cuss word in it, they'd say a cuss word, and my dad would be like, ugh! Like the first word he'd hear, he'd make this kind of sound like he didn't like that. If that was the random cuss word, then we might be safe to continue watching the movie. If a second one came, Dad would stop the movie. And then he had a sudden death clause for taking the Lord's name in vain. If it ever took the Lord's name in vain, then he turned it off immediately. Well, I got to tell you, much to my shame, do I still do that? Not the way I used to. And we might justify it by saying, well, if I'm going to watch anything, if I cut off every movie that has any cuss word in it, then we're not going to be able to watch anything. Might as well turn off the TVs, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing. But, you know, it's easy. We think to ourselves, well, the movie only takes the Lord's name in vain 4 times. Well, is it good to take it any? And we just become numb to that, by the way. And I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip about that. That's just an example how the world around us becomes more and more evil, and we just accept it. We're not shocked anymore by these type of things. We see injustice like he saw injustice. It bothered him. He saw corruption like we see corruption, but it bothered Habakkuk. He saw violence like we see violence, but it bothered Habakkuk. So we need to be careful that we don't become so accustomed to the world around us, the evil around us, that we just begin to tolerate it and begin to live like the world. You know, every day we turn on the TV, we hear about another shooting. We hear about another violent attack. We hear about another scandal. Heaven forbid we hear about another church scandal. And it happens over and over again. And after a while, we just become numb to it. Habakkuk saw the problem, and he wasn't numb. We should learn to see the world through God's eyes, through God's word, instead of through the filter of allowing the world to teach us what is normal. You know, I kind of sometimes like to think, it's not like this, I'm sure, but it's almost as if we picture God is up there, like you see these videos of a drone footage, and it shows, like, you know, a beautiful view of a city, and you're looking down from the drone, and you get a unique perspective. It's like we're looking at it from a different perspective as Christians. God's looking down and he sees the evil. We want to make sure that we still see the problem. The second thing I want us to see is that Habakkuk cried out to God. He saw what was wrong, and he cried out to God. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? This is where I think we began to see the heart of Habakkuk. This is where it's really a burden to him. When's the last time, by the way, that we went to the Lord and we went to God and we prayed, Lord, why does evil continue? Keep me from it. Lord, do justice. That's what Habakkuk did. Did you notice how he started the verse? He said, Oh, Lord. And I think that's important. That takes me back to that comment that I made earlier. A lot of times when we get frustrated, we don't have the answer to the questions, we walk away from God. Habakkuk didn't. He went to God with sincerity. He went to God. He's talking to him. And I think that's really important. He goes to God. He didn't walk away. Now, the Hebrew word translated there as cry, O Lord, how long shall I cry, is Shabbat. It's a strong word. It's for crying out for help. It's a scream at a time of distress. So it's not a little, hey, this is like a terror-filled scream, an extreme need. And so Habakkuk isn't asking a simple theological question. He's not out there, Lord, how long are you going to tolerate this? No, he's crying out to the Lord, and he's hurting. He's burdened. He doesn't want a holy, righteous God to have to deal with sinful man. He's crying out to God. And that gives us one of the most important principles of the book of Habakkuk, of this entire book. When you don't understand what God is doing, talk to God about it. When you don't understand what God is doing, talk to him about it. Sometimes we think that prayer has to be polished. I've noticed a little problem, and I teach a group of young married couples in our church over in Sebring. And sometimes we'll have prayer times, and a lot of these people have grown up in church, but for some reason they don't feel comfortable praying out loud, and that's okay. I don't want to put them on the spot. But I say, would anybody like to pray? And they all kind of look a little pale and a little nervous. You know, they don't want to pray. And I've thought to myself, sometimes I think people don't want to pray publicly because we're used to polished prayers. So we go to church and we hear godly men, and this is a good thing. I'm not meaning this bad, but we hear a prayer And I remember as a kid hearing these deacons in my church pray, and they would, Oh, Lord, as we come to thy throne room, O God, mighty, righteous one, we exalt thee. And it sounds like they're praying in King James English, you know. And we think, well, I don't know how to pray eloquently like that. I don't know how to pray like that. And we're scared to. You know what? God wants to hear from us. Are we going to say anything to God that he doesn't already know? He knows our hearts. He knows the intentions of our hearts. So we need to go to him and pray just like we would talk to a friend or a parent or a loved one. And so Habakkuk sees here, God, I don't understand, but God listens and God hears. And there's a difference between honestly questioning God and arrogantly putting God on trial. So he's not accusing God of injustice. He's just like, show me the truth. Show me what your way is. And it's a very, very different attitude. So I want to emphasize this because I think a lot of Christians sometimes feel guilty about this. You can have questions and still have faith. You can be confused and still have faith. You can be disappointed in your circumstances and still have faith. So Habakkuk saw what was wrong. Habakkuk cried out to God. Number 3, Habakkuk couldn't understand God's silence. So again, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. One verse says, why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you look idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. Seems like Habakkuk has been praying, and God isn't answering. Sometimes we want an answer, even if the answer is no. But silence leaves us wondering. I remember at one point, when Debbie found out she had cancer, and she went through the surgery, significant surgery, to get it out of her oral cavity, and then she went through chemotherapy, she went through radiation, and uh, they they don't call you cancer-free till you've gone 5 years. But they told her, they said, there's no evidence of disease. That's what the first step you want to see. So there was no evidence of disease. So then when she started having health problems, her first thing was like, oh, no, it's the cancer. And it did turn out that the cancer had returned, but it wasn't the way that we thought. So she's in the hospital, and they're running all kind of tests, and we're like, has the cancer come back? And they're like, oh, no, we don't see any evidence of that. Well, then what is it? So we kept wondering, what is it? What is it? And so finally, she got transferred from Sebring over to Tampa General, and so the doctor said, well, we feel certain that it's the cancer, but we don't say it's cancer until we find it. Until we have pathology that confirms it, we don't say it. And I remember Debbie saying to me, you know, I had prayed that the Lord would heal me from cancer, but I don't care now whether I'm healed. I just want to know what it is. And, you know, that's got to be sometimes the way we feel. We pray to God. We just want to know the outcome, even if it's not going to go the way that we want. How long? Why? He couldn't understand God's silence. Have you ever prayed about something for a long time and you felt like heaven was silent? Maybe it's one of your children that is lost and far from the Lord, and you prayed and you don't seem to hear any response. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's a crisis that you've gone through and you prayed for a long time. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and nothing seems to change. That's Habakkuk. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have it here. Here's something important. Habakkuk doesn't conclude that God isn't real. He doesn't assume that God had abandoned him. Sure, he's wrestling with not hearing from God. But God's apparent silence is not proof of God's absence. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're praying. You're frustrated by a lack of answer from God. It doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. I got to tell you, I'm outnumbered. I've always been outnumbered in my house because I had Debbie and my two girls. So I was the only man in the house. So I didn't usually get to pick what we watched, movies or something. And my girls always loved animated movies. So it took me a while before I would even call them animated movies. I always called them cartoons. And I would say, I don't want to watch a cartoon. And they're like, it's not a cartoon. It's an animated feature. So they would want to watch a cartoon. And to this day, I have to be honest with you, that's just not real appealing to me. I would never choose to watch an animated film. Now, I've seen some that I like, and, you know, they kind of have a cute storyline or something like that. But there's some animated films that my girls and Debbie have tried to get me to watch, and they'll start it. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to watch this. And I'm sitting there, and I start watching it. And I'm looking at it, and I'll laugh at a couple of things. I'm like, oh, this isn't too bad. So then I'll start getting comfortable. And then next thing you know, I've dozed off. And I don't know why. I can't control this. This is a habit I have. I don't consciously do this. But then I'll wake up. Something loud will happen. I wake up, and then I try to act like I'm not asleep. I wouldn't dare want them to think I'm asleep. So then I'll make a comment about the movie, and I'll laugh. And then they're like, you were asleep. I'm like, no, I'm not. You just heard me. I laughed. They're like, that part wasn't funny. And I'm like, oh. And they said, all you do is you just repeat the last line when you woke up. It doesn't mean it's funny. So I'll doze off, and then next thing you know, I wake up again. And there's some of these animated features that my girls have watched 3 or 4 times, and so I've seen them 3 or 4 times, but I couldn't tell you what the story was to this day. And so they would ask me, so did you like the movie? Oh, yeah, that was fun. They're like, well, you slept through all of it. So here's the thing. Is it really fair for me to say that I didn't like the movie? I haven't really seen it. And in a sense, I feel like that's kind of how it is in our relationship with God. We haven't really seen what he's doing. We just assume because he's not answering our prayers that he's missing us, he's dropped the ball. The problem is, just like I didn't like the movie, it's because I had a limited view. When we look at things in our life, we only have a limited view. God is sovereign. He has the complete view. It's like a huge puzzle, and he's putting all the pieces together. And when Habakkuk saw injustice, when he was frustrated by violence, when he was going through all of this and crying out to God, he had to feel like, this can't possibly be right. It wasn't right. But it wasn't that God wasn't listening. It was that Habakkuk wasn't seeing the whole picture. I didn't like the animated movie because I've slept through the whole thing. We're not going to understand everything because we don't have God's viewpoint on what's going on. That's often the difference between us and God. God's watching. We're watching one scene. God knows the whole story. He knows the outcome. They have this textile. It's called a San Mateo, I believe. It's a form of a textile. I've probably shared this here before. Excuse me if I have. But it's a wall hanging that they put up in Peru. It is kind of interesting. It has all these little strings that run parallel. They run vertically down the top. They have a wood beam and a wood beam. And then these little strings run. And then what they do is they push like different types of cloth in between those lines. And then when you hang it on the wall, it looks like a picture. A lot of times they're a mountain scene. They almost always have kind of like terracotta roofs on like the mountainous looking buildings. They'll have some llamas and some people in traditional clothing or something from the mountains of Peru. And they will have that hanging on their wall. When you see the front of them, they're kind of pretty. They're nice looking. But if you see the back of them, they just look like a big wadded up mess. To be honest with you, if you see the back of them, it almost looks like if you forgot to clean out your dryer lint thing and you pull it off, they just look kind of like lint. It looks like a big mess. And I've often thought that that's how our life can be. We feel like our life is a big mess. It's just a bunch of tangled strings and lint. It is worthless. How could God possibly be in control of this? But on the other side, it's a beautiful picture. So you see, I think that's what Habakkuk had to learn to realize. God, I'm crying to you. Why aren't you answering me? And Habakkuk had to learn to trust God even when he didn't have the whole story. So Habakkuk saw what was wrong. Habakkuk cried out to God. Habakkuk couldn't understand God's silence. And then finally, Habakkuk couldn't reconcile what he saw with what he knew about God. Verse 4, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Another version says, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And I think this shows the real issue Habakkuk's having. He knows what God is like. He believes what he knows about God. He knows God is truth and righteous. He knows God's law is good, but what he sees around him just doesn't seem to match up. I got to tell you, there's times when I read my Bible and I trust that God is good, and then I see my wife struggling in intense pain and then eventually passing away. It's hard to reconcile. God is good, but he allowed that. We look and we say, we live in a free country, but justice is perverted. It doesn't seem to be something that we can reconcile. What I know about God doesn't seem to match what I see happening. And it's easy for us to trust God when everything's going good for us. It's easy for us to trust God when we're healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's easy to trust God when the diagnosis is good or when the bills are all being paid. But what happens when your circumstances seem to contradict what you know about God? Now, that word in verse 4 that says the law is slacked, it literally means to be paralyzed. It means it's weakened, it's ineffective. So Habakkuk's basically saying, God, what I see happening around me doesn't make sense if you are governing this world. What do we do when we don't understand? Let me give you three quick things. This is quick. I told you all it was long-winded. Number one, bring your questions to God. Don't run away from him. If you can't understand what's going on, when you don't understand, you have to trust God. Bring your questions to him. Don't let your unanswered questions become unanswered prayers. Number two, don't confuse God's silence with God's absence. Just because you don't see God doesn't mean he's not there. God may be doing things you don't see. Sometimes years later we look back, just like when I slammed the door and the doorknob fell off. I don't see God at that moment, but then when I drive down the road and I avoided the wreck, maybe I could see God. Now I understand what God's doing. And number three, when circumstances are confusing, go back to what you know about God. When you don't know what God's doing, remember who God is. I got to tell you, real faith doesn't mean you never have questions. There's times when I've asked God, why did you take Debbie? Why did she have to die? Real faith means that you do know where to take the questions. I can go to God. And then God gives us an incredible peace. We may get the answers now. We may not into this side of eternity. You know, I thought to myself, I wanted when Debbie passed away to be able to put my finger and say, look, this is how God used her death in this big, huge way. We had some little small things that happened. I remember we went into the room, her final moments. The nurses come, they turn off all the monitors and everything, and they said, she'll be in no pain. Spend as much time as you like with her, and then we will come in and check on you. So they closed the door. So we were with Debbie, and we sang to her, prayed with her, and then they came in and they told us that she had passed away. And so the one nurse, she had tears in her eyes, and she hugged me and she said, I just want you to know you have one incredible family. So the thought crossed my mind, wow, wouldn't I love to hear? We shared the gospel with this nurse, by the way. We left her some ways to contact us. Wouldn't it be amazing if then I get an email from her and she tells me that she trusted the Lord? Well, it didn't happen. Now, does that mean she wasn't impacted? I don't know. Only God knows. But we may not always get the dream answer that we want. It might not always be a rosy, beautiful picture this side of eternity. But like Habakkuk had to learn, that doesn't mean that God wasn't at work. Someday when we get to heaven, we'll see the big picture, and all of our troubles and all of the grief that we go through is probably going to look really minor when we see the glory of God. When we don't understand God, make sure we still go to him. And so I hope that's an encouragement for you today. Bring your questions to God. Don't confuse God's silence with God's absence. And when circumstances are confusing, go back to what you know about God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this passage of scripture. Father, when I first read it, it almost sounds just like a complaint. It's like a little time capsule in the nation that's being destroyed by evil and in decline and the laws being perverted. It just doesn't really seem like a passage that's very impactful or interesting. But then the more we look at it, we begin to see how you are using all of these terrible circumstances to help Habakkuk grow in his faith. Father, this morning in Sunday school, we talked about how Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed and he looked for deliverance, and yet you chose not to bring deliverance, but you helped him to accept it. Father, you use challenging, difficult situations for our good and for your glory. And Lord, help us to be able to see that. Father, thank you for these few verses that we looked at today. May they be impactful on us. May we come to you, never running from you, but running to you when challenges come our way. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.